be here on the table.
Good morning.
So in the parasha we have Parasha Mishpatim, and Parasha Mishpatim is a follow-on from Matan Torah, and it's the last of the parashas of Shoivim. There's just an amazing story I heard last week from Rav Daniel Alter in Yerushalayim, which just speaks about it and helps us understand the importance of learning these parashas, especially Chumash Rashi always, and these parashas especially. And he said over that there was someone in America who arranges a Yisachar Zvulun between the Balabatim, the people that are learning, and he spoke somewhere in public and he said that you should know that these parashas, Shmos Ve'Yabay B'Shalach Yisro, are the parashas of Emunah. Someone came to him afterwards and said, you don't know what you just said. Parashas of Emunah? I'll tell you, my son is a teacher in America, he's a Melamed in a Cheder, and he was teaching in a Cheder, and he's taught these parashas, Shmos Ve'Yabay B'Shalach Yisro, and he was teaching it, and as a teacher moves on and goes on in life and teaches again and again and again, he sometimes needs a fresh coat. So he went to the Menahal of the Cheder and said, maybe I can start teaching Parshas Mishpatim, maybe I can move on a bit. The Menahal said, there's a reason we have this syllabus. We learn Shmos Ve'Yabay B'Shalach Yisro, we don't want to skip. So he carried on. A year, a few days went by, eventually that Menahal left, a new Menahal came in. And he went over to the new Menahal, and he said to the new Menahal, is there any way we can maybe just move up to Parashat Mishpatim as a Geshmaka Parashat this week, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, all the halachas? So Menahal said, it's a difficult Parashat Mishpatim, I'll let you do it, but I'm going to have to test the kids every week and check that the kids understand the Parashat. And he started the Parashat, and he's carrying on, three months go by, until he gets to the end of the Parashat, there's a pasuk. Towards the end of the parasha, in mizbechenu tekechenu lomos, that, and suddenly he collapsed. And he was taken into hospital, rushed into hospital, and he fell into a coma, and he was there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And when he came around, Rabbi Daniel Alter said like this, he said he doesn't know if it was a chaloim, or what exactly it was, some type of mari he had. He said he went to Shemaim, and when he went to Shemaim, he realized that he came and they told him that you should just know we had a taina on you in Shemayim. We had a taina in Shemayim. They had a taina because you missed out these parshas. Shmois va'ira boi b'shalach yisro. These are the parshas from Emunah. In Shemayim, they said that we had a taina on you, and that's why you fell ill. He came around, eventually came back, and he didn't teach a parsha anymore, but this yid went over to this person who was arranging himself as well, and he says, you have to understand, it's not just what you're just saying now, these are the parshas of Emunah. In Shemayim, they call these the parshas of Emunah. These are very important parshas, the culmination of all that. At the end of it, we have Matan Torah, and it's where we can learn Emunah, and not just the Yesod of Emunah, how the Torah teaches us how to look at things in this world. And that's something we see in this parsha. Rabbi Rucham of Meir famously says that Mishpatei Hashem Emes Tzod Kru Yachtov, that we're going to see in Parashat Mishpatim the way the Torah judges and the way the nations of the world judge are totally different. There's a Ramban. Ramban is a drush called Torah Hashem Tzmima, where he talks about the Maila of Torah, and he explains over there that if you look at a map, if you look at the globe, if you look at, Ramban was talking in his days before the world all became, right, one, the World Wide Web, and the world all became one place. But it used to be, he said, if you look at the more civilized countries are focused more in the center of the globe, and the further you get away to the edges of the globe, the people behave in less humane ways. And he said that Torah Hashem to me, that Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael set a society with its laws, with its hanhagos, showed what upstanding people, how they meant to behave, and we were mashpia on the world. And the further you get away from where the center of the world was, from Klal Yisrael, the less humane and the less they behave like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man the way man should be. There's someone in an Eretz Yisrael called Reb Shlomo Hoffman, who was an educational psychologist. He was a big Talmid Chacham, and Reb Shach would make him see bochrim, see people, and advise them. He was a Talmud of Reb Isaac Shah, who was saved from the war. Reb Isaac Shah said he feels he was saved from the war in order to be able to pass on to a new generation Yisoidus of Chinuch. And this Reb Shlomo Hoffman was a Talmud of his. He learned some type of psychology, and he was involved eventually in setting up the judicial system in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, the judicial system and how they should punish criminals. And he sat around with the different advisors and the judges, and when they were talking about it, he said to me, "You could tell me any society and tell me how they punish, and I'll be able to tell you what religion is at the top of this, which religion is behind the judicial laws." And he said, "There's something about the way the Torah tells us to deal with criminals, the parish of Mishpatim, we see throughout, we'll see a few things over here this morning, that, like Rabbi Yochum said, Mishpat Hashem, MS Sod Kriyachta, it's not just that we're giving people punishments, we're here and it's Betzedek, it's done with a Cheshbon, and it's here to bring the person back to society." Rabbi Elia Lopian and Leib Eliol speaks this out in a few places. He first of all mentions and says that we find always as the punishment of a ganav is Kefel. The guy who steals, there's like extra knas that he has to pay double. Now he says, L'choyer, it's ein adoyma, a wealthy person that goes and steals from a wealthy person, a poor person that steals from a poor person, a wealthy person that steals from a poorer person. L'choyer, the mishpat should be much more severe of a wealthy person that goes and steals from a poor person. Poor person needs the bread, he doesn't have anything to eat, he's desperate, he has to go and steal. He we can understand where he's coming from. A wealthy person that goes and starts on someone less fortunate, why is he doing that? And famous David HaMelech, when Nosan HaNovi came to David HaMelech and he asked him, and he used to be Miramis David HaMelech, he asked him and he set up, the way Nosan HaNovi set it up to him was that there's two people, an Osher and an Oni, and the Oni has this little kifzala, a little sheep, which is his mamash, everything he has, and he looks after it, and he feeds, and he lives off it, and this is his only precious possession. And Osher will come one day and steal that from him. What should the mishpat be in such a case? And David HaMelech said, Chayev Misa, which is a separate noisa, how David HaMelech Chayev Misa, the Melech's got a separate din, Rebellion talks about it over there. But we see that the Lechayra, the mishpat, shouldn't be like that. The mishpat should be, we see in the Torah, someone steals, there's a flat rate kefal, regardless of your stature, of the nigza, of the nignav, the gun of stature, there's a flat rate of kefal. So Rebbe Elia says, it's true. This is the Mishpat Hashem. And why is this so? He says, because even a dayan, ain a dayan ela ma she'ein of royos. A dayan will sit in the beis din, a dayan will hear the case, and he'll say, okay, it's a oshet. And this is a very important Yisoid he speaks out, and he says that even the Dayan doesn't know who's really an Osher, who's really an Oni. We think we know. We think we know who's a big Osher, who's a big Oni. There's people living in big houses with few cars, people are jealous of them, no one knows what's going on behind closed doors, whether it's mental illness, shalom bias, any type of, any, no one knows. So the Dayan should, if he ain't a Roy, see, oh what, this guy seems to, this guy's, this is the person, people are jealous. He's the Osher and the Oni, and he should start then trying to dun up the gun, the kefal, the fear in you. The Dayan doesn't know. We, with our human eyes, we see of it, the Rebbe says, human eyes can't judge who's a real Ganav, who's a real Osher, and who's a real Oni. We don't know. So the Torah said the Dayanim have to give a flat rate of kefal. Aye, what's Taka going to happen now? If it's Taka MS, that we should take into Cheshbon, the stature of the person. The person is more fortunate. Someone's going to take an easy prey, going and starting on a poor person. Or, in the other case, if the person was desperate, he went to steal, we should take that into Cheshbon. That's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. That we leave to B'dei Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does do that. Elokim Mishpatecha Melech Tein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we leave it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fine-tune the Mishpat, but that has to be a flat rate, because we don't know what's going on by Yenem. And it's a very important, we're starting to see over here, the Torah is showing us, and this is with Kefal, and we explained that there's going to be a Din Shemayim. But we see later in the parasha, by the Chiyuv of Dalet Vahey, that it goes a bit deeper, this whole way the Torah looks at the full picture of something when we're doing Mishpat. Later in the parasha, we know there's a famous, there's a Chiyuv of Dalet Vahey. Dalet Vahey is that if a Kana steals, and he steals a Shoyer or a Seh, and then he's Tovach HaMachar, you pay Dalet Vahey. You pay four times the amount or five times the amount, depending if it was a sheep or if it was an ox, if it was a show. If it was a sheep, you only have to pay four times as much. If it was an ox, he pays five times as much. Why? So we know this already is something the Torah takes into Heshbon, and Ruchem speaks this out. The Torah says that when the Ganav is when he's schlepping home. The seah on his back, he steps on the sheep on his back. He has some embarrassment. Because he has that embarrassment, the Torah takes that into cheshbon. And that we all know. So we're seeing, Rabbi Yochanan says, the Torah takes this into cheshbon. But then Rabbi Elopian takes it a step further, and he asks something. He says, you're right, the Torah takes it into cheshbon. But if you really want to take this into cheshbon, let's ask the question. You got a ganav, a nebuch, a guy, he's desperate. Or it's, you know, the classic picture you paint of a ganav, you know, the guy with his jeans, his earphones, and his ears, who knows what he looks like? Walking down the street, Nebuch, he's got this sheep on his back, he's prepared to go into the thing and take the sheep on his back. Fector Belialopion, does he care? He doesn't care. He's a ganav. He's already going with this thing. He's put this thing on his back. He's walking down the street with it. He's not embarrassed. This guy's a ganav. He doesn't care. So what we're saying the Torah takes it to Cheshbon and the guy's busha, he doesn't care. But here Bailey Lopin says in Mori de Kazakh, he says he does care. The Torah is made that even the guy, the ganav, has to stoop so low to go and schlep and go and go into the thing and go and walk down the street with this sheep on his back. He's whistling. He might even be whistling, walking down the street. Kailu, he doesn't care. Oh, but the Torah is made. The Torah goes down and sees into the depths of the person. The Torah knows there is some embarrassment. Of course he's embarrassed. There's no such thing. We see people walking around, we think we understand what's going on with them, we think we understand. The Torah is showing us how to a different vision. It's an X-ray vision. The Torah is showing us, you think this guy doesn't care? Of course he cares. There's no such thing as a person that doesn't care. And he brings a few more examples of this. He brings from the Rabbi Itzel Blozher. Rabbi Itzel Blozher says, we find a similar case. We find that there's a difference between the Eishes Ish Shezintza and Arusa Shezintza. And Arusa that goes with another man, the punishment of the Torah is chenek. And in the Suah, that goes with another man, the punishment is skila. The Suah is chenek, and Arusa, the punishment is skila. Who would you have thought is worse? Someone who's engaged or someone who's married? What's the very of evasions? Which one's going to be worse? We'd all assume that a married woman, the punishment should be more severe. Here we find faket, the married woman only gets chenek, and Arusa gets skila. Says it's a blusher. The Torah is telling us again how to analyze the Avera. Says a girl that's betrothed and she's over Issa with another man, she doesn't have any inhibitions. She's got less inhibitions. She doesn't have any fear. Said an Asua, someone Aisha's ish, there goes another man. Do you know what? She's nervous. She's got accountability. She's not going to have the same manoff on the Avera. So the Torah takes that into cheshbon. The Torah says she only needs chenek. She doesn't need skila. The Torah takes into cheshbon the full picture. They say Reb Eliel Lopin had a Talmud here, and I think it was in London, who came to when one of his he came to collect from him. He sat by him in the office. He said, "You know, Reb Eliel, I can't be moichel you. I can never enjoy an aveira the same way." When he started telling us that there's the difference between aveira with a krecht and aveira without a krecht, I can never enjoy an aveira properly. He took away the whole hanoah from an aveira. Reb Eliel in this shtickle here is telling us again that the Torah takes into full cheshbon the avera. It doesn't just take into the person did the avera. It takes into what their feelings were at the time, what their inhibitions may have been. This is another way we see the next step in how the Torah views mishpatim. The way the Torah views people that have been blessed with more money than others, we also see in the parasha. Moving on to the parasha of Im Kesef Tal Ves Ami. The famous Orachaim HaKadosh speaks out over there and asks a question. In Kesef Talzez Ami, the Torah says, Rashi brings from the Chilta, Im is a lashon of Chiyuv. A person has a Chiyuv to lend and lend out money. And why does the Torah use the Lashon Chiyuv over here, first of all? The Aruch Haim HaKadosh asks. And the Aruch Haim asks another question. What's Taka Pshat? We see some people are blessed with much more fortune than others, and some people are left with no money. We know Yaakov Avinu davened when he was running away. And he was running, two days long, running away from Esau. He said, all I need is lechem lechol, beged lilboish. Just give me food I need to eat, beged lilboish. If that's the case, why do you find the Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses some people with millions and millions, and some people are literally struggling and munching for the daily for the daily bread? Why is it set up like that? Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Avinu done for that, and he knows people need what they need. How is it, and why is it so that it's distributed in such a way? And the Aruch Haim HaKadosh speaks out famously, and he says that in Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu's got, right, they call it some type of electronic scoreboard. It's all worked out over there in Shemayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows how much shefa is going to come down to the world. Every individual person has to have his lechem lechol or beged lilboish. His own needs, if he is tzorchim, not vos. Because Shvorcha then realizes this one has a schus, this one doesn't have a schus, but he takes all the shefa that's meant to come down to this world. It's meant to come down every year in Rosh Hashanah, a certain amount of shefa, and he takes that shefa and he divides it up. And it comes out that Ashirim will get the money, which is magia, to the other people. But that same amount of shefa, equally distributed, that's meant to come down to the world, comes down to the world. And it comes out, he says now, in Mekesef Talves Ami, Esa Oni Imoch. Says Aruch Haim HaKadosh, Esa Oni Imoch. You think it's your money? It's not your money. Esa Oni Imoch. The money was meant to come down for Shemayim, which was declared on Rosh Hashanah, Lefi, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. It all came down to the world, and it's nimtz already with Ashirim. And it's not you doing a chesed, you think it's your money, you think you've got your money, and you could decide, and you're big bald stocker, and you. It's Ha'oni Imoch. It was Yenin's money, which was by you in any case. You got that chiyuv to lend that money. It wasn't your money. The Torah again is giving us a hashkofa on how to look at the bracha of Ashirus on Halvah. A totally different hashkofa. If we move further, the Torah, we find, the Shemesh Shmuel says that we find the interesting thing about the Eved Ivri. He's called the Eved Ivri. Why is it called the Eved Ivri? We find this Lashon Ivri isn't used many times in the Torah. It's a title given to Klal Yisrael. We're from Avraham Noah, we're the special chosen nation. But the Oni is the Eved is called the Eved Ivri. The Shemesh Shmuel says, you know why it's called the Eved Ivri? The Eved Ivri has, the Torah is coming to show us that even the Eved, even the Eved who stooped so low and had to go and be a Ganav, you have to understand he's an Ivri. He's got the Pintaliyat inside him. There's no such thing as a Yid who could lose that spark, the Neshama inside him. He says, the interesting thing, we find that Eved Ivri is only found by a Ganav, not by a Gazlan. Right? It's only Nimka for Gneva, not for Gazela. Why is it only Nimka for Gneva, not Gazela? He says, because the Gneva is done in private. It's a more primis. It does it at night when people can't see. The Shemesh Shmuel says, the Eved Ivri is misusing this Mila of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael have this Mila. We speak about Pnimius, the Torah is looking at us, how to look at the Mishpatim of a Ganav, how to look at the Chiyuvim Dalet Lehei, how to done up every single Yid. A Ganav who misuses this Kli of Klal Yisrael, of doing things with the Pnimius, of he uses it and he uses it to do a Geneva at night. But the Torah is saying even that's where the Chiyuv, that's where his Nimkav for as ever. And also over here, it's giving us the title of Eved Ivri, that even Eved Ivri, who's got this, who had this, who misused this middah, but the Torah doesn't give up on him. And the Torah gives a tikkun for him. I heard this Vasemis a few weeks ago, which says as well that we're talking about how the Torah looks at Mentum, how the Torah looks at Averis, how the Torah looks at Tzcha. The Vasemis, a few weeks ago in Parashas Shmoyis, explains that when Kaisa went into Golos, when the Kaisa were in the middle of the Golas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then was Megal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu to start the Gola by the snare. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaisa, they're not worthy of the Gola. They're not worthy of the Gola. They stooped their eye in the Mentashai Tumah. They stooped so low. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see in Klal Yisrael that they're worthy of the Gola. And the Svasema says, the Merida Kazach, Svasema says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should know, he says like this, Haven Kadain and Mukhan Lugola, Kibaida Gola Shoilet, Nixa Mepesa Shagola, Kamoikim Ajagas Meshabenu, he was a goyal, he didn't see it. Rashboch Shivai, Ki Aya Imach Betsiacho, Kahoisha Chasa Eretz, you're right. Abatekev Kashiyatim and Agolas, Yestana Lamalusa, Visroim, Viskam, Eitel, Asina, Kin and Shneva, Essa, my comfort and shorn. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, Kalis, all the way they look to you now on the outside, it doesn't look there's any hope for them. Or we have to understand that there's something called this pintaliyid. There's something inside. And the rega that we're going to come, you're going to come as the goyel, which means that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't detect the essence of Chayasol, and we have to understand between within ourselves. And as Fasemis finishes off with a lesson like this, as Fasemis says, we also have Nimsa today, Tovshin Pei Gimel, for 2023, look around the world we're living in. Are we worthy of Gula when Mashiach's going to come? We're the ones, we're going to be Zeicha to the Gula. And the Sfasemis gives Chizuk and he says, we have to be Zeicha, we have to be covers for the Gula Samar. The Shalali is Noyash Hashron and Bereshif Leseinu Milabar, Umilagav. Shaim Machonim Lashum Madrek, Kitana Shal Madrek is Aveseinu. We're going to be Avid the Besamigdosh, and we're going to Halil Regal, and we're going to get to such a shape. We're living here in Golders Green, we're far away from that. The Sfasemis says, like, the same thing will happen to us as well. We have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we each have in us this chelek alekam imar. We said that this parasha, the Mishpat Hashem, is showing how the Torah dons things up. We don't look at things like the chitzonis dikamaisa, that's the way the Torah dons up the chiyuvim of the Eved, the chiyuvim of the ganav. The Torah is telling us, we don't just look at things superficially, we have to look at the essence of a yid. When we think about this and we understand that there's something inside us, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, we could be zeicha to the gula, we can taka be zeicha, and we should be zeicha to the gula b'korif.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey.